بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, we are continuing with Surah At-Tawbah, and we had just commenced with the 11th juz. And in today's lesson, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the obligation of zakat. And in this verse, Allah informs us the primary objective, the primary wisdom and benefit behind zakat. Why is it obligatory upon every person who meets the criteria? So Allah addresses Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً, that take from their wealth some amount which will be charity, sadaqah. And here sadaqah refers to the obligatory sadaqah, which is zakat. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the primary wisdom behind it, تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. By taking this amount of wealth from them, or this amount of money from them, you will cleanse and purify them. So here Mufassirin have mentioned that this is the primary objective of zakat, that it serves as a means of purifying the wealth of a person, and not just the wealth of a person, but rather it purifies a person's heart, in the sense that it will now rid him of any excessive attachment with dunya. He has worked hard, he has earned and accumulated this wealth, and now by being asked to part with a small portion of it, this will rid his heart of any attachment to dunya. But more than this, it serves as a means of purifying his wealth, if perhaps that wealth may have been tainted in any way. A person may have engaged in some transaction, and that transaction, perhaps without him realizing, may have had some type of karaha, it may have been makruh, or perhaps he twisted the arm of someone and in this way he managed to secure the item at a cheaper price. In whatever type of karahat may have been found, or dislike may have been found in him accumulating this wealth without him realizing, zakat will now be a means of purifying and cleansing that wealth. So this is the primary objective. Unlike what we have perhaps learned or been taught, that the primary objective is to alleviate poverty or to uplift the poor, yes, that is a secondary benefit. Elsewhere this is spoken about as well, that it will be a means of those who are not so financially well off getting something, perhaps coming onto their own feet and being able to now live and take care of their needs. That is the secondary benefit. But the primary reason, the primary objective is, it serves as a purification of a person's own wealth. And then Allah says to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ, that when you take the zakat from the people, then make dua for them. صَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ. Imam Shafi rahimahullah has mentioned that when the Amirul Mu'mineen collects the zakat from the citizens, then it is wajib for him. And other madahib say it is mustahab, it is preferable that he makes dua for them at that time. So as they come to hand in their zakat, to pay their zakat, and classically in a Darul Islam, in a Muslim state, they would hand it over directly to the Amirul Mu'mineen or his representative, his zakat collector. Then at that time of receiving the zakat collector or the Amirul Mu'mineen should make dua for this person, that may Allah reward you, may Allah accept your payment of zakat, and may Allah grant you barakah in the remaining wealth that you have. And the reason for this is that this becomes a means of this person becoming happy. He will now, next time, happily pay his zakat. He is getting du'as, and his mind is being put at ease. Allah will give you barakah in the rest of your wealth. And then Allah says, "Inna salataka sakanu lahum," that O Nabi of Allah, your du'a will be a means of contentment for them, a means of satisfaction for them. So therefore make du'a for them. Wallahu sami'un alim. And Allah hears everything. Allah is knowledgeable over everything. And then turning back to the Battle of Tabuk, and we had discussed previously, this took place in the ninth year after Hijrah, a very strenuous journey, a very lengthy journey. It was in peak summer. And Sahaba radiallahu anhum joined Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And there were those individuals who remained behind in Medina. They did not go out. And here Mufassirin mentioned there were three groups. The first was the group of the munafiqeen, the true out and out hypocrites, who remained behind. Second group were the believers, yet they were ill, they were sick, they were perhaps of an advanced age, and physically they could not go out. And the third, there were a number of true mu'mineen, true believers, who did not have any valid excuse, but due to laziness they remained behind. So Allah speaks about them by saying, أَلَمْ يَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ يَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَةَ عَنْ عِبَادِهِ, that do they not know that Allah accepts tawbah from His slaves. When they repent to Him, then Allah is ready to accept repentance. And because we spoke about zakat, وَيَأْخُذُ الصَّدَقَاتِ, Allah will still accept zakat from them. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ, and Allah is the one who is oft forgiving. He always accepts tawbah. And Ar-Rahim, He is completely merciful. وَقُلِ اعْمَلُوا, so say to them, O Nabi of Allah, that you continue to engage in a'mal, continue to do what is required of you. فَسَيَرَى اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ, Allah and His Rasul and the remaining believers will observe your actions. This is now addressed to those sincere Muslims who remain behind from Tabuk, that you continue engaging in a'mal, read your salah, give your zakat, etc. Allah and His Rasul and the believers will observe you. And they will now determine whether you are sincere. And remember, if you are doing this without sincerity, وَسَتُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ, you will one day be sent back to that being who knows the unseen and the seen. فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ, and then He, Allah, will inform you regarding your actions. So these Sahaba radiallahu anhum are now being told that you will have to continue making an effort, and Allah will then decide. وَآخَرُونَ مُرْجَوْنَ لِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ, Allah says that these Sahaba radiallahu anhum, their matter has been put off, it has been put aside, waiting for the decision of Allah. إِمَّا يُعَذِّبُهُمْ وَإِمَّا يَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِمْ, either Allah will punish them for them remaining behind, or Allah will accept their tawbah. Wallahu alimun hakim, Allah is the most knowledgeable, most wise. So this was when they had, when the army had returned. And in other verses of Quran we understand that after a lengthy period of time, after perhaps more than a month, eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now revealed that these Sahaba radiallahu anhum, there were three of them, Ka'b bin Malik, Murara bin Rabi'a, and Hilal bin Umayya. Allah had then revealed that they are forgiven, and they were then reintegrated amongst the remaining Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So this verse, although it says the matter has been put aside, but later on we then come to know that Allah did forgive them, accept their tawbah, and their slate was then wiped clean. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.